In Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had not root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now skip down to verse 18, if you would, please. Verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the word of God. It's called here in this passage the word of the kingdom. We thank you that by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ that we can enter into your kingdom. And Lord, this morning, I pray that the word of God would go forth simply and yet with great power. I pray for young people here today that it would be understandable to them, for older folks that they would understand it, and for everyone here that it would have an impact in their life, that it would make a difference. It would be encouraging. It would be edifying. It would be strengthening. Lord, I thank you that when you saved us, that you gave us that privilege of hearing the gospel, but not only did you save us to save us from hell, you saved us so that we could bear fruit. I know that one day we're going to stand before you and our fruit will be examined at that time. And Lord, I pray that the people in this room, young and old, would have much fruit that would be something that they could show that they had listened and they had learned and they had loved the Lord Jesus Christ and served him with their life. Pray for those that are not with us on this last Sunday of the year, especially those who are ill. Think of Brenda White and Dan Ball. Pray that you'd comfort them today and be a blessing to them. And for each of our church members, I pray that you'd be a blessing to them and protect them today. And then for those that are not saved in our midst, if there are any, I pray they would understand what we have as well today from the Bible, and that you'd save someone before we leave this place. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Used to live in South Texas, and we would drive down the highway. South Texas is just flat. I mean, it's there's no mountains, there's nothing. It's just flat, and there's a lot of good farmland down there. And wouldn't be unusual to be driving down the highway, and you might see a farmer. He probably had a huge piece of land, but he'd be out there in the field, in the middle of the growing season, and the crops maybe knee high or or higher, and you'd see him, and he'd be down looking at something and driving by in a car. You wouldn't know what he's doing, but what they're doing is they're looking at the soil. They're checking the soil. Is it moist enough? Is it what it ought to be? Does it need fertilizer? Does it need insecticide? Does it need pesticide or maybe weed killer or maybe just needs nothing? Maybe it's just what it ought to be, because we all know that soil is what lets the plant grow. Now, I know that you can grow things in water, but that's another matter. But soil is what makes things grow. And the Bible in this passage is looking at you and I and examining us the way the farmer would examine the soil. Now, I like to look at the fruit. I was talking to my Sunday school class this morning, and we've got a fruit tree, and this year, for the first time, we're going to have a crop. And I don't know why I like that. I paid a lot more for that tree than it would have cost me to buy oranges every year for the rest of my life. But it's just something about having fruit come off of a tree that's exciting. My son's been getting excited about growing. We took a tomato the other day, took the seeds out and planted them, and they sprouted. Free tomatoes. Well, maybe after you put water and everything else you do. But I enjoy seeing a crop, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ enjoys seeing fruit. In fact, the Bible says in the Gospel of John that when we bear fruit, we glorify the Father. You and I, many of us here are older, and I talked to that crowd for just a moment, and we can look back at our life and we can see the fruit that we've already produced, and it sure feels good, doesn't it? No matter what happens, between now and eternity, we have some fruit stored up in heaven to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me make this real simple. Don't miss this. It's really simple. Here's the way it works. You plant a seed. That seed is a certain kind of seed. It may be an apple seed. It may be a tomato seed. It may be a pepper seed. But whatever that seed is going to determine what grows, isn't it? Now, in this parable, he tells you, if you look at verse, he doesn't you just come out and say it, but if you look at verse 19, he says, the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. The seed he's talking about is the word. That's also mentioned in Luke, I believe it is. And folks, we have that word right here, don't we? You know, I'm not talking about cover to cover. I'm talking particularly about the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins. We talked about that quite a lot in Sunday school this morning. We have the word of the kingdom, the word about the kingdom, the word about how to get into the kingdom and what it means to be in the kingdom and the blessings of the kingdom. You take a seed, in this case, the word of the kingdom, and you plant that seed, and you hope it comes up, don't you? But you don't just hope it comes up. It's one thing for it to sprout and get a couple of inches high, but you want it to bear fruit. When I was a kid, I planted an avocado seed one time. Come to find out, avocado seeds are really easy to sprout. And it kept on growing, and it got about 4 feet tall. And I thought, great, free avocados. I don't know why. I'm sure somebody else does, but you can plant an avocado seed and take good care of it and water it and talk to it and feed it and whatever you want to do. For whatever reason, they won't produce fruit. And I thought, when that thing was about 4 feet high, what a waste. I've got leaves, I've got stems, I've got dirt, no fruit. When you plant a seed, you want a product, don't you? Now, this is very simple. Somebody gave the gospel to me. They planted a seed. And that seed sprouted, and I got saved. And then I grew in the Lord, and now I can plant seed, and what's the result? More Christians. Amen. Product. And then those Christians will plant seed, more Christians. The fruit we're talking about is reproduction. In other words, souls for the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. That's the kind of fruit we're trying to produce. Now, there's a whole lot to that, and I can't get into all the details, but for example, you may have an opportunity in your Christian life to be an encouragement to somebody and to keep them from failing. Maybe, for example, they are just about to wither away and not be productive, and you pull some weeds out from around them and you feed them, as it were, and now they produce fruit. That's still producing fruit, amen? Amen. So the fact is, you can produce fruit by helping out another Christian to be strong. I had a friend in Maryland, or in Utah, that was a neurologist, and he liked to garden. And he came over to my house one day with a load of manure and some tomato plants. And we had a place set aside, and we planted the tomato plants. Well, I was pretty busy in the ministry and didn't have much time to watch them. And over the course of the summer, weeds came up around them, and those weeds grew all around those tomato plants. And at the end of the summer, I thought the tomato plants were gone. No, there was no tomatoes. All I could see was weeds. And so it came time to cut that all down and get ready for the wintertime. And I got to looking, and the tomato plants were still there. It's just that the weeds had taken all the nutrients out of the ground, and the tomato plants couldn't produce anything. If I would have just gone to the trouble to pull the weeds away, I could have got some tomatoes. Might be that you could help some other Christian not to wither away and die like that. And that's another way to produce fruit. But folks, every one of us ought to have fruit. That was God's goal, wasn't it? And we can look back into our lives, and we can, if we're older, and we can see that fruit. The younger people here today, some of the younger folks, you may have to look forward to some fruit in the future, but we all want to produce fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of us is pictured in this parable in one way or another. And let me just show you, if I could, a couple of things that we see about the kind of soil that produces fruit. And I'm gonna work with the passage beginning in verse 18, and then we'll look back a little bit at those first few verses. But let's begin with the first kind of soil. One of the things you're going to have to do if you're going to produce fruit is the stones need to be removed. Now, look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13. And let's look at verse 20 first of all. He says, "He that receiveth the seed," or received the seed, "into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," that means after a little while, or pretty quickly there, "with joy he receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Let's just look at verse 21 and see if we can't break that down just a little bit. You can imagine the soil that perhaps just a little ways under the soil, there's stones. So there's a little bit of soil, but not very much soil. And the seed lands in that place. The sower, by the way, is just sowing everywhere. He's just sowing indiscriminately. He's in the field and he's throwing seed this way and throwing seed that way. And the sower knows something, and that is, if you plant enough seed, you're going to get some results. That still works today. Amen? Amen. You know what would, the first thing that would keep you from having any fruit is if you don't sow any seed. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't have time to sow seed." I don't know. I just know if you don't sow seed, you don't get any fruit. But sometimes, and there's some encouragement to be had here, sometimes we sow and the place where the seed lands is not good soil. At least keep on sowing, amen? Amen. You're going to find some good soil sooner or later. Just keep on sowing. But that person that receives the word and it's a stony place, there's something that keeps the word from growing good roots, from getting established, if you will. And look what he says there in verse 21. He said, "He hath not root in himself." That's an interesting thought. "But dureth for a while." He lasts a little while. That word dureth means to endure or to continue. It says, "When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, first thing you need to know, there's always going to be tribulation. Amen. Tribulation is not the problem. There's always going to be persecution. The Bible says, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. It's just like when you garden. If you go out there and you plant some seeds, there are going to be some storms. That's why we sprout things indoors, and when they get bigger, take them out and put them in the garden, because there's going to be some storms. There's going to be some wind. There's going to be, especially in Arizona, some scorching sun. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be tribulation and persecution in your life. That's not the problem. The question is, how do you deal with that? Does the word have a chance to take root in you, or does the persecution and the tribulation cause it to be unfruitful? Now, if you're here today and you can look back and you can see some fruit in your life, then you understand that you had to pay a price for that fruit. When we used to live in Maryland, you think it's cold this weekend? You ain't seen nothing yet. I can remember knocking doors, wearing a big coat and a hat and a muffler and my gloves, and it was about 0 degrees outside. And you knock on somebody's door, and sometimes they don't answer the door, not because they don't want to talk to you, but because they don't want to freeze to death. It's cold. Sometimes when you go out soul winning, you have to endure some things. Maybe you have some people that give you some grief, and they're not polite to you, and they're rude to you. Or maybe you go and go and go and go and go, and you don't see any results. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be that person that might laugh at you or that might reject you. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be that person that you thought perhaps you had a prospect there, and then they're not nowhere to be found anymore. It's not a question of whether or not there's going to be tribulation or persecution. That's going to be there. The question is, how are you going to respond to it? Now, look at the illustration. The parable is very powerful if you look at it. Look what he says in verse 21. He hath not root in himself. What is it that's trying to establish root? The Word of God. And there's two things that you have to do to let the Word of God penetrate and grow in you and establish itself in you. One of those things is you've got to hear it, and the other one is you've got to believe it. Amen. Now, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. The more you hear, the more established the Word of God is going to be. And if you believe, the Bible says it must be mixed with faith, Hebrews says. If you believe what the Bible says, hearing and believing the Word of God will change you. Amen. You look through the Old Testament at the people that were persecuted in the Old Testament. And look at those men that survived that persecution. They were men of God and women of God that believed God and believed Him enough to overcome the tribulation and persecution that they faced. If there's no fruit, it's not because there's something wrong with the seed.
That's right. Amen.
If you want to produce fruit, you need to be prepared by the Word of God, having it penetrate you and grow in you and change you and establish you and make you durable to where you can endure. You need the Word of God in you so that when the time comes that the tribulation and persecution approach, there's plenty of depth. You just keep on growing. The Word of God made it far enough. Get those stones out of the way, if you will, that would keep the Word of God from growing in you. How much time do you spend in the Bible? How much of the Bible do you know? How much of the Bible can you quote? How much of the Bible has spoken to you?
Amen.
There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. Someone is going to lie to you and tell you things that they're going to say that it doesn't do any good to soul win or to tell people about the Word of God or to come to church. It does a lot of good to come to church.
Amen.
You know why it does good to come to church? For one reason, because Jesus is here. And we come here to worship Him. Amen?
Right.
I understand being sick and not being able to be in church. Or I understand even situations where you might travel and not be in church. But folks, if you can be in church, you ought to be in church. Because it's where we honor God. It's where we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever we find in the Bible that penetrates us and changes us, those are the things that help us to bear fruit. All right, let's look at the second one here real quick. The first one was the stones that prevented the word of God from taking root. And then look at verse 22. There's a second thing that can keep you from bearing fruit. It says, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Now, it's just like that tomato patch I described to you earlier. It was about 2 feet deep, and I think it was about 8 feet long, and I had prepared the soil ahead of time, and there were no rocks in that soil at all. And we had put some manure in there. There was plenty of fertilizer, and I watered. In fact, it was on my sprinkler system. It got water when it needed to. So everything was there that needed to be there in order for the seeds to grow up and make tomatoes. But I didn't keep the weeds out. And what happened was so many weeds came up that the tomato plants were scrawny. You couldn't even see them unless you went looking for them because of all the weeds and how those weeds had consumed all those nutrients. The weeds were enjoying the water. The weeds were enjoying the good soil. And the tomatoes didn't get what they needed to produce fruit. There are things in our life that can keep us from producing fruit, aren't there? And there are things that would rob, for example, the strength that is needed to produce the fruit. Someone says, like, I don't have the opportunity to produce the fruit because I've got to do something else. It's a care of this world. Now, there are cares in this world we have to deal with. There's no question about it. But I'll say it plainly. The cares of this world shouldn't keep you from producing fruit. They should not keep you from producing fruit. You can have a weed or two in the patch and still get good tomatoes. But you know what I found out about weeds, and I learned this over the years. You know what I'm talking about. If you see a weed and you don't pull it, before you know it, you got three. And if you see those weeds and don't pull it, before you know it, you got 15. And now you got some work ahead of you. And if you see 15 weeds and don't pull them, before you know it, the whole thing is covered in weeds and you lost the whole crop. Folks, when we see a weed in our life, we need to pull it. What are weeds, Pastor? Weeds are things that keep us from serving God. Weeds are things that we put ahead of God on our priority list. Weeds are things that they'll take all the nutrients you'll give them, and they'll take all the water you can give them. But when you let those things grow up in your life, they'll stop you from producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about our missionaries. Think of the sacrifices they've made to go to the mission field. They've really given up just about everything, haven't they? They can't be around family. They're not going to own a home. They have no career. They don't have anything to fall back on, so to speak. They take their meager possessions and they go to a foreign field and they establish their home there. They spend their life there. You compare them to people that stayed here and had a career and bought a house and had a couple of cars and went on a big vacation every year and had a lot of pleasure and that sort of thing. The missionaries don't have all that. But they got a lot of fruit, don't they? And you say, wow, I sure like the idea of living a life where I'm comfortable and I got plenty of money and I got nice all this and that and I can do what I want to do and go where I want to go and all that. You're right. There are some pleasantry, if you will, to living in the weeds. But when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the weeds are all going to get cut down and thrown in the fire. And then who would you rather be, you or the missionary? Now, God didn't call us all to be missionaries, amen? But he did call us all to sow. He did call us all to bear fruit. You may not go to a foreign field and see hundreds or thousands of people get saved, but you can stay here and see dozens get saved, amen? And by the way, you don't know. You may see more than that and not realize it. You understand, our church supports missionaries around the world. And you know, we write our check for $50 or $100 or whatever and put in the offering plate for the missionaries. And we send that money to the missionary, and the missionary takes that money, and he spreads the gospel, and people get saved. We're part of that. And then you get somebody saved, and you don't know much about what's going to happen to them, but later on they get somebody else saved. They sow, and that seed produces fruit. And then that person sows, and that seed produces fruit. And folks, once again, you're part of that process. So you can see where it's kind of an all-or-nothing proposition. If you let the weeds choke you out to where you don't do any sowing, it's just a simple fact. If you do not sow, you will not reap. If you do not go out and witness to somebody on Tuesday night visitation, which this week we're going to have services, but the week after we'll start back up with Tuesday nights. If you don't go out and talk to folks, there won't be any fruit. If you don't go out on Saturday mornings and work the bus route in that area, then in your life there won't be any fruit. But find a place to get the word out. Amen? Get that word out. Don't let the weeds stop you. Now, really quick, and we're done. This is the best part of all. It says in verse 23, he that receiveth seed into the good ground. What is good ground? Doesn't have any rocks to keep the roots from penetrating. It's got plenty of penetration. Doesn't have any weeds to steal the nutrients from the seed. The weeds have been removed. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and that is which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Back in the 1970s, my stepfather, bought 10 acres of land in New Mexico, and he planted some squash on that land. It was about 3 or 4 rows of squash. And he planted some other things that didn't do quite so well. But it wasn't too long until we had so much squash, we didn't know what to do with it. We were trying to find, please take our squash. We were trying to sell the squash. We were trying to give the squash away. Bushels and bushels and bushels of squash. Wouldn't you like to be that kind of a Christian? Amen? You think the Lord wants you to be that kind of a Christian?
Yes.
Now, I got to caution you. God may put you in a field that's got a lot of rocks in it. God may put you in a field that's got a lot of weeds in it to where you may sow and not see quite so much product. But every one of those seeds that fell in good ground, and that good ground represents you and I that produce fruit, every one of those seeds that fell into good ground produced. And it produced many more times than what it was. There will be some people that will step into eternity, and they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not going to have any fruit. They were saved, and as Corinthians says, so as by fire. Their life was wood, hay, and stubble. And they're saved, so as by fire, but there's no fruit. I don't want to be one of those Christians. And then there are going to be some Christians, and their life consisted of gold and silver and precious stones. Read Corinthians, you're going to understand more about that. But those are the Christians that had the good soil. The word penetrated, there were no rocks in the way. The word could grow freely, there were no weeds. They kept the weeds out of their life, and they produced bountifully. And folks, some of us in our midst can say, that's been my life, amen? That's great. Even an old tree, by the way, can make some more fruit, amen? Just because you've been at it a while doesn't mean you haven't got any more seasons in you. We've got as many seasons as God gives us. But I just ask you to examine and be honest. Examine yourself and ask, can you see that fruit? Have you had any fruit lately? There's only really a couple of reasons that you wouldn't. If you're not sowing, you're not going to have any fruit. If the Word of God is not established in you well enough to keep you going when the tribulation and persecution come, folks, we just got to push on through. It's the plant that survives that produces fruit. Amen? And the Word of God can keep you going. And if you have weeds in your life, get them out. What's a weed? Anything that'll keep you from producing fruit for the Lord.
Amen.
Look at your crop. How's it looking? Be that South Texas farmer and get down and look at that soil. Are there weeds there? Are there rocks there? Look up. What kind of fruit do you have? You know why the Lord has not taken you and I home yet? He's taken some people home this year, hasn't he? And I envy them because they are with him and they are free from pain. And their path has concluded and their life has been finished. And we'll have some, I'm sure, that will step into eternity this year. And again, it would be great to go be with the Lord. But you know why the Lord has not taken you and I home yet? He's waiting for one more piece of fruit.
Amen.
Now, do you understand what that means? Young people over here, you say, well, I could never produce fruit. Oh, I think you can. In fact, I know you can.
Amen.
One more piece of fruit. What is one more piece of fruit? One more piece of fruit means somebody that would have died and gone to hell, but you gave them the word of God, and they received it, and because of that, you have been reproduced, and there's one more Christian. One more person is going to go to heaven instead of go to hell. How do I do that, Pastor? Sow. Just get the word out. Sow it as much as you can. It's not your job to evaluate the soil one seed at a time. Just give it to everybody. You never know who's going to receive it. Amen? Folks, it's the last Sunday of the year. We've had a year that's been full of challenges, but we've also seen some blessings this year. We've seen souls saved this year. We've seen souls baptized this year. And I'm glad. The whole year, it'd be worth it if one soul got saved. Now we come into a new year. You say, Pastor, what should we do in the new year? Sow the seed. Throw out the rocks, pull the weeds, sow the seed. Let's produce a little more fruit. You may be that tree that God's waiting on to produce that one piece of fruit, which is the last one that'll ever be produced before Christ comes back. But whether that's the case or not, I know this. God wants to see fruit from all of us in the year ahead.
Amen.
We have to make that choice. Rocks, weeds, or fruit, which one's it going to be? Let's all stand and pray.